Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pete and Grant on 106.7 The Fan. Oklahoma City Thunder guard Chris Paul, the president of the NBA Players Association, told ESPN's The Undefeated yesterday that the Players Union and the league are collaborating to allow players to wear jerseys with personalized social justice, social cause, or charity messages on the backs of their jerseys instead of their last names during the upcoming restart to the NBA season. So the personalized statements on jerseys are part of a long list of social justice messages that players plan to make through the remainder of the season, which starts July 30th in Orlando, Florida. The NBA, the Players Association, announced an agreement on Wednesday to continue to discuss fighting systematic racism and to make it one of the main focuses of the sport during the restart. Personalized jerseys could say things such as Black Lives Matter, I Can't Breathe, bring light to social charitable cause, even display the names possibly of people who have been on the wrong end of racism. There's an expectation that players could have George Floyd or Breonna Taylor's name on the back of their jersey, people who were killed by police in recent months. So I'm sure this will create a massive conversation, which is part of the goal, Pete. But remember, here's why I think this is really, really smart from both the PA and the league. You had a faction of players that Kyrie Irving was trying to convince not to play because he was essentially saying, hey, to create change and to do some good for this movement, we need to not play. It's going to distract from trying to advance society forward. And I know I thought that that was foolish, and a lot of people said, wait a second. By playing, your biggest platform is basketball. What you do so well and the reason you get so many eyeballs is basketball. That's, in fact, probably the best way that you can send whatever message that you want. But this is a way that they really would allow for that. Is as these guys come back and start playing again, they're providing this platform for them to try to create a movement and to further, I'd say, get the word out, whatever that word they decide to get out is.
Look, I think there's no question, and we've seen the Premier League already. We saw they restarted their play with the Black Lives Matter on the back of their jerseys. I don't think there's any question we're going to see the hashtags of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor on the back of some players' jerseys. Maybe even some teams may adopt that as a team going forward. Again, Grant, I think it's just as we were talking about with baseball, I think this is a fantastic time for the NBA, whoever wants to do this, to have some experimentation. We're talking about, whether we're going to see sponsorship on jerseys, perhaps for the first time ever. Well, if we're going to do all this, why not allow the players at this point? Because remember, we've seen obviously a couple of good WNBA talents who are opting out because they want to continue to participate more in the social justice or the justice movement, the equal justice movement right now. And that's okay. That's fine. I'm all for that. Make the decision that best fits you, your family, and your life right now. And I think for the NBA players, what better platform, Grant, than to do something with their jerseys to either honor someone who has fallen or try to bring light to some other, social injustice matter that they feel very strongly about at this point. So, if we're gonna encourage experimentation in other sports, why not allow them to do it in basketball? Because let's face it, we all want sports to be back. More people are going to be watching it on TV than ever before because you can't go to it. And what you're going to have the most visible platform you've ever had in your life each and every day, where you don't necessarily have to meet with the media, but your jersey will speak for itself.
One thing I wonder, and I'm certainly not in the camp that's going to in any way have my fandom altered negatively or that doesn't support or endorse or like seeing some of this stuff. But there are people out there that would tell you, hey, I go to sports to get away from everything, right? And this is where you get into, you know, the idea of you have media people. Laura Ingraham, I think, is her name. I hope I'm not getting that wrong, but who said shut up and dribble. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And I've always thought that that takes irresponsible. And while, you know, a lot of people don't watch the Oscars to hear what Leonardo DiCaprio thinks of climate change, or, you know, they don't want to turn on basketball and see what Kyrie Irving thinks of the world or whatever, you know, as you said, it's your platform. I mean, you're opting in. You don't have to do that. And this is you come for them. You know, they made the movie. They scored the 32 points in the game. And they get to say whatever they want when that microphone's put into their face. And if you don't like it, don't put the microphone into their face, I guess. But my question would be this, Pete. I think that there's a reckoning happening right now where these athletes have a chance to try to enact and create some change in the country, and they're using their platform to do that. And I think that that's a healthy thing. But you know that not everybody thinks that way, and that there are plenty of people who are going to be, and I don't just mean the NBA, but in general, that are turned off. And it doesn't even mean maybe that they disagree. I think most of them do, because when you're hearing things that you agree with, rarely do you run the other direction. A lot of the times, though, you hear something you don't agree with and you're turned off by it. And maybe even some cases, Pete, I would say in the minimal amount of the cases, you hear something you agree with and you go, this really isn't the place for this. I'm here to just watch basketball. I wonder, as these sports do see more and more politicization, what would be that word? They get politicized more and more. I wonder if there will be any kind of a negative effect as far as numbers or losing some audience. And I'm not saying that the juice didn't work to squeeze for these athletes. They don't care. Or even for the sports. You know, you look at like NASCAR as an example and what they've done the last few weeks. NASCAR has basically said, we know that we're going to ruffle some feathers in our base and we're going to rile some people up and there's going to be plenty of people that are angry and probably check out on us. But it's the right thing to do and it's for all the right reasons. And they've been a leader in that regard. They made that decision. But each sport's going to have to think about that probably, I would think. And I wonder what you would say about that.
Grant, we've had work stoppages in all sports, and people keep coming back. I went back and I looked at the 94 work stoppage, that one of the most famous in baseball history, probably the reason why we have the Washington Nationals in Washington, because had Montreal gone on to finish that season with a great talent that they had, they probably would still have a franchise right now. But I look. Yes, there will be. We hear this all the time. Grant, you take calls every day. Oh, I'm not coming back. They're going to lose me, yada, yada. Well, guess what, Grant? 7 months later, those people are still calling the radio station, still very much involved. Maybe they don't go to as many games because they don't want to make the financial commitment or can't make the financial commitment. But those people don't go away. If they do, it's 0.1% of people that eventually go away when we have some kind of work stoppage or – you know, San Francisco 49ers fans continue to go to their game, still support the franchise, even though, you know, Colin Kaepernick took a knee while playing for them. So, I mean, if you give up your season tickets, there's always somebody that's willing to come in and buy in to those season tickets in some of those markets. And look, social media makes everybody a loud cowboy. That go out there and express an opinion, because all you got to do is get on your keyboard and things of that nature. But you know what? On Monday morning, you know, Joe or Jill are still at their water cooler going, hey, did you see what the Redskins did? Or did you see what the Caps did last night? Did you see what the Wizards did or what the Lakers did? Did you see LeBron's play? Those people are always still going to be out there. Do they necessarily agree with a player doing that? Probably not. We know there will be people that will not agree with that, but you know, at the same time, man, you know, let these guys do this, because there's never going to be a more visible platform for them to do it. You don't have to agree with them. That's the beauty of the country we live in. You don't have to agree with everybody. You and Danny have a show every day. You guys don't always agree with each other. So, like you said in the last segment, no better time to experiment, no more time to relate to some people.
Well, and imagine if you're a player who cares a lot about these issues and you sit it out. I mean, you might regret that for the rest of your life. There is a chance that we see a sea change here. I mean, there is a chance for some major progress right now. And there is one part of me that doesn't think that any player that wants to be active in doing any of these things shouldn't. I guess my point is, and I'm certainly not saying that this is a bad thing, I'm just making the observation that I think is very much true. The days largely of sports as a release and an outlet and kind of an ability to get away from the news and politics or whatever else that it is, the world, it seems like those days are over, certainly for now. But I think for a lot of people, like you just think about our shows, right, on this station and the topics that we get to talk about right now, like with what's going on. It's work stoppages are about as non-divisive as it gets at this juncture. But it's that. It's a world pandemic. It is race equality, even in sports, from the standpoint of NFL hires or all of the different involvement of players in the marches and the rallies and the protests. But you kind of go through it, and it's all very much intertwined right now. And I think it always has been, but it was a little bit easier to pull it apart. And that makes some people uncomfortable, and I'm okay with that. I mean, this is how it probably has to happen. My point is not to say that it's wrong as much as just to say this is where we are now, Pete, where, you know, the Redskins name change is the most prominent thing with the Redskins, and you kind of go through all the subjects. It's very real life, big picture things, and normally you follow sports so you can see the quarterback throw to the wide receiver. Grant, nobody's playing any games right now. You don't get to do that.
It's things that we have, for lack of a better term, overlooked for several years and just kind of brushed them aside, blown them off. And I think now with what we've gone through and obviously with the pandemic, you know, a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands now, as we've seen, to be very active from a protest and peaceful protest standpoint. I think that's, you know, a lot of times we lose the fact that there are a lot of people out there that are, you know, doing it peacefully because they get, you know, lost in all the violent video and the things that we see out there. But again, you know, look at right now, and this is, if I were sports, this is what I'd be concerned with, Grant. The lower end of every demographic right now, 18 to 34, 25 to 54, there are less and less people in those demographics that are quote unquote diehard about sports. And those are the people that sports has to get back to cultivating a relationship with. And if it is through something like this, then by all means, you know, they should do that. Because if I'm a player, I'm concerned that the lower end of that audience is not replenishing the higher end of that audience who bows out either because, unfortunately, they pass away or they can't, you know, spend the dollars to go to games anymore or physically go to games anymore. You need to replenish that audience. And I think right now that should be a very, very big concern for all sports. We're going through it right now in our own market, Grant, with the Redskins. We got to figure out a way to get more people back to the stadium to watch the team, as opposed to the diehards who are probably right now more in the 35 to 64 level, because we still remember when the franchise was successful. And if participating in these matters helps the players cultivate a relationship and a likability with certain members of that audience, especially the younger ones in that audience, it's just like we're trying to get younger people to get out to the voting booths, Grant. Got to get them out there and make them care about their opportunity to affect change. Well, the same thing, we got to do that in sports. If it's a way for players to connect with the audience, then by all means, it should be encouraged. And obviously, as long as everything is done within the realm of good taste, I say go for it. Let's do
it. Yeah, I do too. I'm looking forward to seeing what they choose to have on the back of their jerseys and what kind of respects they're paying and who's saying what exactly. But, you know, what I hope happens is that it's all taken very positively. What I don't like is when people that aren't as comfortable Now, if you just, let's just say you're Pete Medhurst and you put Medhurst on the back of your jersey and now we start keeping score on who isn't involved and we vilify you because you're not using your jersey to do
this. Valid point.
It should be up to your comfort level. You know, if Michael Jordan wasn't comfortable coming out and saying something, we shouldn't hate him for it. And for years and years and years, he paid a personal price with a lot of people because that was not something he wanted to do. He didn't want to engage off the court and didn't feel like he should engage in politics. And that was held against him. But if people want to get into it, and I don't even think this is politics, but the human rights side of what's going on right now, or if they wanted to engage in politics itself, whatever. But not everyone has to, and if they don't, I don't know that it should be held against them. And I never liked the scorekeeping of, like, these two players took knees, but why didn't this player take a knee? It should be up to everyone to kind of decide what they want to do, and people should find a way to respect that. We're Pete and Grant, and you are listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At the bottom of the hour at 10:30, we do not yet have the national schedule, but we know they will kick off the Major League Baseball season with the game against the Yankees. They will be in prime time under the bright lights. They and New York will be the first game to kick off baseball when it returns, which is a really cool honor for Nationals players, I am sure. I wanted to get into this, though, because it just came down within the last hour. D. Smith, who you often hear on the Junkies, he's a good buddy of EB's. Their kids played lacrosse together in high school, and he comes on the Junks quite frequently. The Players Association Executive Director is not happy seeing NFL players continuing to work out together despite a union advisory that was sent out last weekend saying that they should stop doing so. Tom Brady has been at the forefront of this. There's a lot of people very angry at Tom Brady in the league and out of the league because he's still having workouts with his teammates. During an interview with USA Today, Smith was specifically asked about social media posts from workouts from Bucks quarterback Tom Brady and Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, said that they aren't acting, quote, in the best interest of player safety, end quote. But a lot of guys are doing this. I mean, you can probably every quarterback on every team at this point, but we see pictures and videos day in and day out of Dwayne Haskins working out. By the way, he's in incredible shape, and he looks awesome, and he's throwing dimes down the field to Jerry Jeudy and Terrell Owens. I don't know how – by the way, before we even get deeper into this, where are these people coming from that he works out with? Like, it's always some random Hall of Famer. He's working out with Ocho Cinco one day and Antonio Brown the next and Terrell Owens yesterday he was throwing passes to. The running back from Ohio State, J.K. Dobbins, was with him yesterday with Jerry Jeudy. I don't know if they're all, like, training at the same facility and they just go out to the field or what, but he's working out with a who's who of studs over the last couple of weeks, isn't he?
As I've said all along, for him, you know, one of the things you talk about, Grant, and you all analyzed last year in great detail – talking to people within the organization who were there at the time, and obviously some of them are not now, there were concerns, as you brought up, in some of those people's minds about, you know, the way he went about his preparation and things of that nature. Well, if you have been a critic of that, you cannot be a critic of what he has tried to accomplish here in this offseason, who he has gone to work out with, the frequency in which he has gone to do this. He is doing everything that he possibly can under the current situation to get a work in, but get work in with people who can help him, pass catchers who can tell him, hey, on this kind of route, you need to get the ball here. I mean, I just don't see how this isn't a win-win for Dwayne. And this is all going to, you know, if we play this year, I mean, this is going to come down to what he and Scott Turner can get together on within this offense and the pass catchers that he has, because there's no question the quarterback is going about his business the right way and is doing everything he possibly can to make himself a better player. And look, when you play at Ohio State and you play in high-profile college football games, you know, your door's probably open a little bit more than it is if you were the guy that was playing at Southeast Missouri State or, you know, somewhere like that. So
he looks ripped, though. I mean, he's really gotten himself into tremendous shape this offseason. But the reason I originally brought this up is because Haskins and Brady and some of these other QBs and players are getting ready for the season outdoors. I don't know that they're distant the entire time, but they're playing football, right? They're touching the same ball as other people. And the Players Association has come out and suggested to these guys, don't work out in groups. Stop doing it. And they're just doing it anyway. And for some reason, Brady seems to be the guy that everybody's talking about, but it's happening with 32 teams all around the league. I'm guessing it's just because Tom Brady's Tom Brady, and he's the biggest name, and what he does matters a little bit more. But I've got to be honest with you, Pete. I don't really have an issue with this at all. This is their job. You know, now you could say it's not essential, and I can't come back and refute that, but I know this. If the NFL season's going to be happening, which as of right now, the league is telling all of its players that as of the end of next month, in fact, a month from today, training camp is supposed to start. Soon after that, preseason games. In an offseason where you haven't had any time with your team at the facility, you'd better be getting ready to go. I mean, Brady on a new organization with a new offense. Dwayne Haskins in kind of a make-or-break year. Imagine if he got off to a slow start. What's at stake for him personally with some of the detractors and some of the things he dealt with last year? These guys have to play well. So tell Dwayne Haskins or Tom Brady it's not essential for them, you know, to know those offenses and get out there and hum in week one. But I'm conflicted by this. I have an issue with the fact that people are so upset and so angry at these guys for playing outdoors. I mean, in the sunlight, outside, slinging the football around. These are
tell them, Dr. Bickle, come on.
I'm not doing a Dr. Bickle bit. But some of the healthiest people we have in society are throwing the football. That's their job. Like, you go back to work at the radio station, and I got a buddy who works at Safeway who's bagging groceries, and there are nurses who have worked every single day, and I understand that there's varying levels of import with these gigs where you have to be at the hospital if you're a nurse. But there's people that are driving into the office now that don't do things nearly as essential as that. This is what these guys do for a living. They don't have the luxury of just stinking up the joint in September. I cannot work myself into a lather to be upset at these players. They're suggesting that they don't train together. They're not necessarily mandating that they don't. So they're blowing through the suggestion. I'm not going to be mad at these players for that. I know a lot of people are.
I don't think there has been a group, Grant. Look, I mean, obviously for the longest time you were encouraged to stay in groups of 10 or less. Now most places you're at 50 or less. I don't think anybody's had probably more than 15 guys at any of these workouts, 20 maybe tops. So
a lot of the time it's closer to like 10 to 12 probably.
Right. So, and again, I think the only concern is, you know, sharing of the footballs and things of that nature. So maybe they need to call our boys at KO Distilling and get a bunch of hand sanitizer, one of the big 5-gallon buckets out there or something like that. But other than that, I mean, you know, most of these guys, the receivers are wearing gloves for more often than not. So there is at least a level of protection for their hands and touching the ball. You know, look, as long as they're staying within the group requirement, I don't really have as big a problem with this. I understand why D. Smith and the Players Association as a whole has to have this kind of policy. And I think because of the recent outbreaks in places like Houston, in particular, in Florida, where a lot of these guys are participating in some of these workouts down in the Sunshine State, that's the reason why I think the NFLPA comes out and says, hey, guys, maybe we need to tone this down for a week or two here while these cases have spiked throughout, you know, the state of Florida or in Texas where a lot of these guys have gone to work out and stuff like that. So from that standpoint, I can understand why the Players Association as a whole makes the blanket statement saying, guys, you may want to protect yourself.
Yeah, for
take
sure.
it a little more seriously right now.
That's
because,
their job.
You know, right. D's just trying to protect their interests. That's all.
Yeah, that's their job. I mean, honestly, like they should absolutely advise guys not to. And if I was a player, would I be training with my entire team? No, I wouldn't do that. But if I'm a quarterback throwing to seven or eight receivers, that's just me getting ready for the football season. And I'm going to do everything I can, by the way. I mean, obviously, if guys have any type of symptoms or anything, don't show up. I'm bringing my sanitizer, and I'm going to be as clean as possible. I'm not high-fiving you. I'm not hugging you. We're not trading sweat. But, yeah, we're both going to touch that football. But within reason, I'm going to be cognizant of this, and I'm going to be thoughtful of it. And I think, by and large, people are. But, again, I'm supposed to be angry at Tom Brady for throwing to Gronk and Mike Evans when you're umpiring a game yesterday where kids are colliding into each other and sliding into home plate and we got youth baseball being played. Youth baseball, with all due respect to whoever those kids were playing in Laurel yesterday. God bless them. But nothing they're doing matters to anybody other than the people that were playing or the people that were sitting in the crowd watching them.
No, I agree.
This is the National Football League. This is the NFL. This is, you know, an economic boost. This is going to help communities. This is going to get jobs back for people. And I'm supposed to be furious at Tom Brady because he's out there throwing some passes to a guy that makes $7 million a year to catch him. But Pete's going to umpire a damn game with two 10-year-olds playing baseball that nobody cares about outside of the people that are playing? Sorry, I cannot get upset about that. I just can't do it.
Yeah, and look, here's the thing. And I would slow up on this. We say, you know, these games and having sports back is going to help communities and things of that nature and get jobs back. Well, if there's no fans, how many jobs are really coming back with the return of sports outside of maybe the people in the broadcast industry, the people that work with the individual teams, the officials, stuff like that? Because if there's no fans, that means we don't have any concession people. And those are the people that I've been so concerned with through this whole time. Concession people, Grant, you see them. You've been going to games for years. You know, we know there are some great characters in the concession game. They work at Capital One Arena. They work Redskins games. They work at DC United games over at Audi Field. They work all the local venues at Nats Park and everything. But if there's no fans, those folks are still, you know, not making any money. And until we get some fans back, and obviously I know we have to have games before we can decide whether we're going to have fans or not, you know, that's when eventually we will get jobs back and things of that nature. Because if there's no fans, there's nobody going to the restaurants around the games, unless the restaurants now get creative and say, hey, can't go into the ballpark, but you can come here and watch the game, at least in a group of 50 or whatever. Half
He's
capacity.
Pete. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Do this. Call us and you can react to what we're talking about. Do you have any issue with, should anybody have any issue with Tom Brady and the Bucks or Dwayne Haskins and some Redskins receivers or Russell Wilson with some Seahawks training? Now, that's the story of the morning, as D. Smith came out and said they're not, you know, in the best interest of protecting our players heading into training camp. Said, I don't think they are in the best interest of us getting through an entire season. That was D. Smith saying a group workouts are not helping right now. That, you know, maybe they're going to be putting the season at risk in some way. 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With Pete, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. PG, parental guidance, the show today. It always freaks me out when I see, like, one of my favorite old actors or broadcasters trending on social media. I woke up this morning, and I always look at, like, the Twitter trends to see what people are talking about. And Dickie V was the number one trend in the country. And I was like, oh, no. So I click on Dickie V's name, and he just did some viral video, basically. But always scary for a second. Dickie V living large in Florida, looking good. Looks like he's tan and ready for some college basketball at this point.
Love Dickie V. It's my guy, man. I remember when he first started out, he was just real low-key. He talked like this, and he got really into basketball X's and O's. And all of a sudden, as the character built through the years, he's built an empire. But more importantly, Grant, the most important thing he's ever done is the amount of money that he has raised on behalf of cancer research is astronomical. And he, again, an example of using his platform for the greater good. The amount of millions of dollars that they have raised for cancer research with the V Foundation and also what he's done through for pediatric cancer has been unbelievable and astronomical, something he didn't have to do. He could have just kept on analyzing basketball, but he's used his platform for an unbelievable cause and has been very, very successful at it.
He's another example, though. And, I mean, this will be taken as a knock, and I guess it is in some way. So I like Dickie V a ton. He's a treasure, and my goodness, I mean, he's given me so much entertainment over the years. I think it's really hard, though, to be a unique, you know, character in the game and not to have it, like, become a caricature at some point, not to jump the shark. Like, a Chris Berman is similar to me. Berman, for a long time, unbelievable at what he did. And at some point, it became more like back, and Marshall, than anything else. And it's like you get a little bit of that acclaim and the juice, and people like a little bit of your shtick, so you do it more and more and more. And next thing you know, you kind of lose your way, and that's all you've become. Now, a Dickie V college basketball game is so unique. It is fun, but it's like Dickie V turn up to 11. Another guy I think is this way is Bill Walton. Like, Bill Walton, I think, when just being a commentator, is really good. But if you watch one of his games with Dave Pasch, it's like they've got to have that viral moment. You know, they've got to be funny and hilarious, and they want basketball Twitter talking about them. But you just – I don't know how to describe it other than, Pete, I think when you get a little bit of fame for being funny or interesting, you kind of try a little bit too hard to recapture that, and you move the bar too far.
Look, I mean, John Madden is the ultimate example of this. Look at what John's shtick built an empire. I mean, it built this completely separate empire. It started with the light beer commercials, and then eventually, obviously now, to the greatest video game sales of all time because of the Madden video game. So that's a guy that has parlayed that character and caricature into an empire of his own. So I think, look, and we talk about this all the time with social media and stuff now. I was talking about this the other day with even as athletes as young as, you know, middle school now and elementary school, because of social media, man, you can build yourself a brand, Grant. You know, and that's the beauty of all the different stuff now. I mean, you know, I watch my daughter and all her friends and, you know, the different stuff they do with TikTok and everything like that. But between TikTok, Instagram, you got people, Grant, that would never in a million years be reasonably famous or make the amount of money they have. But yet you've got people by just simply posting an Instagram photo in a bikini, and all of a sudden somebody's paying you thousands of dollars to do that because they know you're going to get them to click on Instagram. And obviously, as we know, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, YouTube, if you get enough viewers and enough subscribers, you get a check. That's what it's all about. It's about establishing a brand and getting a check. What you do with that brand after that is completely up to you. But obviously, Dick has done it to a great extent for cancer research.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As you said, you use it for good, right? And you're able to raise awareness and money for a really good cause. And speaking of the cancer research, I mean, ESPN itself, what they've done with, like, Jimmy V's foundation, which Dickie V is a big part of, the annual push that they make to raise money on Jimmy V's behalf based on the unbelievable speech he gave and everything that they do, you got to give them so much credit, though. I mean, they kind of shut down their operation for a day every year, TV and radio, and they have everyone kind of volunteer things that can raise money. It's awesome what they do. I know people love knocking ESPN regularly whenever they can. But that might be the best thing that they do at this point.
I don't think there's any question that, as you mentioned, basically shutting down your operation for a day and on ESPN radio for years, they did. They do the telethon and the marathon for all the different things you can buy. Like you can buy, breakfast with Dick Vitale at his favorite location down there in Orlando, the Broken Egg. And you can come to a game with Dickie V and with other people. And, you know, it's just like, you know, we think about how many lives are saved now. Cancer patients who years ago had, you know, sometimes no hope of being cured of the dreaded disease. And we have so many people now that are finding quality of life and beating cancer. And you can't help but think perhaps some of these dollars that have been raised are at least contributing to that. And that's, you know, that's all you can hope for when you undertake that kind of enterprise, as ESPN with the creation of the V Foundation has done. You know, when you do that kind of stuff, that's what you're hoping. That's what you're hoping ultimately will be the outcome from it. And, you know, Jim Valvano was as great a personality, as vivacious of a guy. And to see how his personality continued on and he fought through that dreaded disease, that speech is one of the most iconic of all time, because his body was being ravaged at that time by the dreaded disease, and he still found a way to get up there and muster one of the greatest speeches of all time. Came from the heart, came from from his core, and kudos to all the folks that make that happen at the V Foundation on a daily basis. And hopefully other lives can continue to be saved and quality of lives can improve for those people and their families as a result of the V Foundation's work. And, you know, look, I mean, as we said, eventually somebody's going to have to carry the torch after Dickie V and other people. And hopefully what he and others are doing now inspires others to do that as they go forward in their lives with, obviously, the great platforms that they have. By the way, Bill Walton, good story, mentioned to his wife, Lori, one time on Twitter, you know, hey, I'm a big Bill Walton fan, yada, yada. Messages me, you know, I said, is there any way I can get an autograph? Sure enough, Bill Walton sent me an autograph picture. It's great.
No way.
Got to put that up in my office here at some point. Nice glossy 8x10.
On Twitter, too, so that was fairly recently.
I think this is at least 2 years that I've had it, because his wife, Lori's always been on Twitter. So,
that's just great.
Yeah. I mean, I love Bill. I think Bill's fantastic. I think his knowledge of the game is tremendous. And obviously, yeah, I mean, no doubt there's some shtick there. And God bless Dave Pasch. He's the most perfect guy at handling it. He's so good.
Pete and Grant with you on 106.7 The Fan on this Sunday. Danny and Cakes at noon. He'll take you until 3.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nats fans, good news for you. The Nationals will host the Yankees on Major League Baseball's opening day. Welcome back. Pete Medhurst, Grant Paulson with you. 10 minutes to 11 on this Sunday. June is 28 days old. The reigning champ Nationals slated to host the Yankees when baseball resumes. Sources confirmed to ESPN yesterday. So we don't have a schedule yet. We don't know who the Nats are playing when or how everything's going to break down. They're still finalizing and formulating a lot of that. But what we do know is that the matchup between last year's champion and this year's co-favorite Yankees is set to take place as the opening day game at Nationals Park, although Major League Baseball has to keep ironing out some other details. The New York Post first made the announcement before it was confirmed by ESPN. Tuesday, after the MLB Players Association signed off on final details of a proposal, the league began to move forward, ESPN.com writes, on a 60-game regular season that will run from July 23rd until September 27th. So that Nats game is 5 days fewer than a month from now against the Yankees. They'll check in midweek this week on July 1st, and then the season will begin. And where do the 60 games come from, Pete? Well, here's how it's going to break down. 10 games against all four teams in your division. So you'll play the Phillies, the Marlins, the Mets, and the Braves 10 times each. That's 40 games. Then there will be 20 other games. It'll be a 4-game series against 5 different geographical rivals in the American League. So those presumably will be teams like the Yankees, the Orioles, where the travel is easy on the East Coast. So that's where the 60 games are going to come from. The Yankees will pitch Gerrit Cole, presumably, who made $324 million on his contract this past winter, which is just crazy to say out loud. And the Nats, I would imagine, will decide between Scherzer or Strasburg, and I got to imagine Max will get the ball in that game to start the 2020 season.
Well, I mean, the great thing is how do we know what pitchers are even going to be ready by July 23rd or 24th? We're hoping for the big matchup. That would be a great stage to see Scherzer and Cole. And, you know, look, you know what the storyline is going to be, Grant. There's going to be video. They're going to show the Nats celebrating Gerrit Cole, you know, warming up in the Astros bullpen and never coming into the game. And Cole now seeking his revenge as a member of the Yankees today against the Nats as we start the Major League Baseball season. We know what the open of that game is already going to look like on television. It's just a matter of which guy is going to go up against Gerrit Cole that day. And look, I still think because of the seniority and obviously, you know, the longevity, it's probably Scherzer. And you bring up a great point, Strauss. Usually takes a little bit more time to get into the season, to get cranked up to top speed. So Scherzer Cole, Strasburg Cole, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a great storyline to finally get the baseball season started. We can already project what that open's going to look like, Grant. We already know. We can tell you right now.
Yeah, I'm excited. Baseball going to be back. And you know, I keep saying coronavirus permitting because I do think there's a chance if cases are spiking and there is fear. I mean, everyone wants to have an argument and a debate about what the cases mean and whether they were going to go up inevitably as you tested more and all these things. To me, that matters less than are people afraid? You know, what is the public sentiment? I mean, there are plenty of places that might have been able to safely stay open with just 2, 3, 4 people at a time in a shop, but they shut down either because they were told to or because of fear of people being upset at them for not doing so. And the fact is that and the reality in the country is that there's still a lot of fear and consternation, and there are a ton of cases, and that's bad, whether you think it's a big deal or not. Us having 9,000 new cases in one state in a day is a scary, bad thing, particularly when there are teams that play in that state. So I always say COVID-19 permitting, but if we leave that on the rearview mirror and just talk ball for a second here, Pete, which I think can be therapeutic and helpful for all of us, I mean, the idea of having a Gerrit Cole-led Yankees team against a Scherzer-led Nats team at Nationals Park for an opening day, a matchup you never would really get in interleague-style game to open a season, when we've been waiting for this for months, the unveiling of this team for the first time since the World Series against a team that is probably better than Washington this year on paper and is the co-favorite, I believe, with the Dodgers to win the whole thing now this year. That would be amazing. The only reason I say Scherzer over Strauss coming off the World Series MVP honors, you know, carried the team in the playoffs, was kind of the guy in the postseason for the Nats. Number one, because of how much he was pitching, as you said, it's not just that he always starts slow or anything. They were ramping him up at a different pace than everyone else. Like, Max actually in the second half, because of the injuries and some of the wear and tear and the number of starts he missed, he's got a fresher arm than probably almost anybody else on the staff, certainly than the veterans. Whereas Strauss was going seven innings at a time every fifth day, pitching 110 pitches, deep into those starts all the way through. You know, Max, yeah, at the back end of the season into the playoffs, was able to do that. But if you look at the second half, I mean, he had almost one of the more restful on the arm second halves he's had in years and years. So I just think he'll be more ramped up and ready to go. Not to mention, if they were both 100% healthy and ready, Scherzer's been the guy who's been top five in Cy Young voting every single year he's been here. He'd probably get the nod anyway. That's a hell of a matchup. I mean, that's game one of the World Series basically all over again, you know, with trying to figure out how you're going to face and score and hit Gerrit Cole in his new uniform for the first time. But how crazy is it? I'd forgotten that contract until I saw it. $324 million.
Think about this. I mean, you know, this was a guy that, you know, three-time All-Star now, finished second in the Cy Young voting, and, you know, when he was actually drafted by the Yankees originally back in 2008. He's a first-round pick, did not sign, eventually drafted by the Pirates. And his last 2 years in Pittsburgh, Grant, he was 7-10 and 12-12, parlays that into a deal with the Astros, and in 2 years there he goes 35-10. And now all of us, obviously, as you just mentioned, you know, he's going to get over $300 million now, basically, for the rest of his career. He's still only 29, even though he was picked back in 2008 in the first round of the draft by the Yankees. But, you know, I mean, this guy won 19 games at one point with Pittsburgh. So you knew he had the goods. So you've got Cole, and we know, I mean, the dollars that Scherzer and Strasburg are making are astronomical now, too. I mean, that's what you want. You want big money versus big money. You want the world champs with the shortest title defense, maybe in Major League Baseball history, only having to play 60 games to try and do it again. Let's go. Let's get July 23rd. Let's keep flipping those calendar weeks over here so we can hopefully get to some semblance of product coming out for Major League Baseball.
Pete and Grant with you on 106.7 The Fan. Let's look a little deeper into this Nationals team next and the chances that they will have in a makeshift short 60-game season. And how big would Ryan Zimmerman deciding not to play be? How much of a factor could that be in hindering this offense, which has already lost Anthony Rendon? We'll get into that next right here on 106.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.